Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. You guys are great. Yeah, so, well, I visit San Diego this time, you know. It's good to see your smiling faces. Yeah, we've been busy traveling, telling people of Jesus Christ and God's love and of your love. People are very inspired and very... and anticipating much being able to visit San Diego because they hear so many good things about the saints out here. So, as with all the other people who came up here tonight, I am honored to be a part of this congregation, part of this family. We are honored, of course, to be a part of the greater family of God, the body of Christ. But God has seen it fit that I'm placed here with y'all. And I'm very cool with that. There's a lot of cool things that were said, particularly coming up to the point of the teaching. We heard in manifestations that God said, I am in you. You are my dwelling place. There's a verse in John 14 where Jesus Christ says, you know, those that love me keep my commandments, and my Father and I will come and make our abode with that person. That's us. Also heard some cool things. And as a side point, the prison ministry that's going on, awesome. I read an article, I had a conversation with a believer a little while ago. Actually, it was about a year ago. And he told me about one of the largest issues that the people in the prison had as far as the prison ministry was getting people ready for release into freedom. Which is interesting. That was the biggest obstacle that they had, was to be released into freedom. And I said, well, why is that? It says, because they keep identifying with the mind of a criminal. That was their identity. You know, I am a criminal. I can't function as a free man. And that was the hard part for them. And I see such a parallel oftentimes for believers. We are set free a lot of the times, but the mind is still trying to identify with the freedom that we've been given. Isn't that right? Have we not ran into these obstacles before where it was like, I know I'm free. I'm trying to get my heart and my mind to a place to identify with the mind of the free man. Identify with Jesus Christ and my Lord and Savior so that I can walk like Him. So wonderful work you guys are doing there, and very important work, and a wonderful work that parallels what we go through, right? Because I am not a sinner anymore. I am a righteous one of God. I am a saved son or daughter of God. That's my identity. You know, I am not the gathering, the collocation of all my mistakes or flaws or failures. I am not the collocation of all my achievements. Because Jesus Christ was both the one who healed me, who forgave me, for who redeemed me from all my mistakes and my flaws, and His achievement was greater than any achievement I could ever achieve. And I have that identity. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Isn't that great? And that's what we're trying to instill with the people in the prison ministry. And that's what we're trying to instill in people in the world when we go out and evangelize and witness. We're telling them, look, you have a Redeemer who wants to take away your identity with all your mistakes and flaws, and who wants to give you an identity that will surpass all your achievements. And we want to give you a relationship with God. What I want to talk about today is spending time alone with God. And this is a very, very, very... I cannot stress how important this is. I cannot stress how beneficial, how uplifting, how joyful that this will make you. You will see, hopefully by the end of this teaching, that it is connected to everything. Let's think of great men in the Bible. Just name one off the top of your head. David, the whole record of Psalms is him writing these songs to God, right? He wrote those songs alone, spending time with God. Working as the Spirit moves through him. I'm going to write this stuff down. Hosea, God, you are amazing. Your mercy endures forever. God, your praise, let your praise be on high. Shelter me under the shadow of your wings. What was the third verse that we sang from the verse for the song that's not in the songbook? There's a sheltering wing part that I was like, hey, I'm going to teach on that. Let's say Gideon. You know, even while he was afraid of the Midianites, he threshed wheat by the wine press. And he was alone because he was afraid of the Midianites, right? But he's spending time alone with God. And when did God meet him? Alone. Boom. Walked up with him. And he said, oh, verily, it's the Lord. And the Lord said, you're going to save Israel as one man. And of course, dialogue ensued. And he was like, what? No way. Daniel. Daniel. Always at the time of prayer. Always at the time of prayer alone. Put his little carpet out or whatever. You know, sat on it. Times of prayer. Prayed with God. Stayed alone with God. Relationship with God. It was an amazing thing for him. And it built in him the constitution to sit in the lion's den alone in confidence. See, what we do with God alone, with our alone time, is connected to what we do with God everywhere else in our lives, everywhere else in our ministries, everywhere else in anything. It's connected to everything. I want to be like Daniel. I want to take my time with God and spend time in relationship with God so that when I get thrown in the lion's den, I'm not afraid. I stand there and I look them straight to the face and I know that God is with me. And that helps out, and that constitution will be put into you if you spend time with God. So this is connected to everything. Let's go to Psalm 91. I was turned on to a teaching by a brother in Christ we have. His name is Bill Hybels, and he talks about coffee with God. And he talks about there was a man who was new to the Word that he had brought into the Word, and the guy was a very successful businessman in the marketing agency, in the marketing advertising industry. And the man came up to him and said, you know, I just don't have time to make with God. I have all these business meetings, I have all these things going on in my life, I have to make schedules and appointments, and I don't have any time for myself. How am I going to be able to make time for God? And he looked at him and he said, you know, you make time for things that you value. You make time for things that you value. Of course, the guy kind of got turned off a little bit about that. He didn't see the guy for a couple months after that, but a couple months later, he did see the guy, and the guy said, come to my house for dinner, please. Went to his house, they had this wonderful discussion, and the guy told him, I have this rocking chair. And ever since you told me that, as angry as I was, I tried my best to wake up every morning and sit in this rocking chair, half an hour before I had to go to work. I would sit in this rocking chair and I'd get my cup of coffee and I set it up over here at this vista view that I really like outside my backyard. And I would just open my Bible. Now remember, this is a new believer. Doesn't know much as far as, you know, like scripture retemery. Hasn't memorized probably more than John 3:16. But he sits there and he opens his Bible and he goes, God, I want to understand you. Please help me. I love you. And he, for half an hour, 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes, sits there. And as he does that, he starts telling this guy, Bill Hybels, about what God has been telling him. And before he can even get out much, his wife jumps in and goes, that chair has changed my husband's life. He is gentler. He is funnier. He is a stronger leader. He's a more honorable man. He treats me better. All because every half an hour, he spends time in that chair with God. It's connected to everything. Who has Psalm 91 on them right now? Sophie, you want to read verse 1?
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Read that one more time, please.
Okay. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Awesome. In the KJV, that shelter of the Most High is called the secret place of the Most High. It's just a rendering for the Greek word, which is can be rendered also a shelter. I like that it's called the secret place because it gives it a connotation of intimacy, doesn't it? Like, so it's my secret place with God. I go there with Him. Not that it's a secret from me, because I would never find the secret place. So, do you know where the secret place is? Because if you do, then it's probably no longer going to be a secret. In the Old Testament, the secret place, the shelter place of the Most High was the tabernacle. And we're going to see that a little bit more. Let's go to Psalm 27. Remember, this is Old Testament. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5, it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in His temple." One of the great things we learn, that we relearn every time we go and spend time alone with God, is we learn how to behold Him. To be still, remove the distractions of the world, sit and just behold Father. Behold the wonder of His works. Behold the wonder of His love. And it is something that does nothing but good things for us. To just sit and be able to behold Him. Verse 5 says, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." So in the Old Testament, though, the secret place, the shelter of the Lord, was symbolized by the tabernacle. It was symbolized by, you know, the tent, the meeting place of the Israelite people. But as we heard also in Manifestations, let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verses 18 says, "For through Him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy" what? "Temple in the Lord." Who's the holy temple now? We are the holy temple now. Verse 22, "In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So the secret place now is not some geographical location that we have to run off to in order to get into the secret place, right? Why? Because God's habitation is within His people. God's habitation is within us. John 14, Jesus Christ said, you know, "Those who love me, me and my Father will come, we will make our abode with Him. We will make home with Him." So when we go to the secret place, where do we go? We go alone with Father inside. You can be in the secret place wherever you are at any time. You can go to the secret place in work. Sometimes you might have to remove yourself from the distractions. We see this a lot with the life of Jesus Christ, do we not? It says when He had a big thing to do, when He was going to pick the 12 that would follow Him, it said He rose up greatly early in the morning and He went to a mountain and prayed. Why? Get away from the distractions. Refresh yourself in the Lord. Learn to behold Him. Go to where the wisdom is outpouring. Go to where the blessing is outpouring. And that's what we do when we do that, is it not? We go and sit before Him and say, "God, I have this problem. I need Your help. I need Your help monumentally. You are God. I am not." Praise You! It's great. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Actually, I'll just read this. You go to James 4. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" You know, God desires relationship with His children. You know? Think about the principles of the first fruits from the Old Testament, right? First of everything, right? First of the firstborn. First of the cattle. First of the harvest. First of the income. First of your time. Think of it like that. Because when I give God my time first, the rest of my time becomes just wonderfully empowered. You know, me and Vince go to Starbucks in the morning and we connect one with another and have a wonderful time just being brothers in Christ, praising God and just talking about life. Doesn't have to be something overtly spiritual, you know, just hanging out, loving each other. You know, when I leave from that meeting and I realize that I really connected with Him, He comes back to mind throughout the whole day. Is that not true with God? When you connect with God at such a level in the morning or whenever, and you are just filled with His presence, because that's really what we're going for, right? In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is wisdom. In His presence is pleasures evermore. That's what we're going for. When I do that with God, and I finish my coffee with God, I go back into the world, and He's already on my mind, already working in me, already leading me. You know, the times that I take to refresh myself in Him end up empowering everything that I do with Him that day or that month or that week, right? It says in James chapter 4, who has verse 8? Does anybody want to read verse 8? Go ahead.
Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Awesome. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and draw near to Him, ye double-minded. Now, that is an Old Testament reference from Psalm 24. I'd like you guys to go there. The cleansing your hands part is something that every Old Testament priest had to do before approaching the tabernacle, or either in the tabernacle trying to approach closer to God. They had to wash their hands in this brass laver basin. And what it was just symbolism that they were going to be spiritually clean before they approached God. And so, of course, this is symbolism here. Cleanse your hands, O sinners. Be spiritually clean and have a pure heart before me and approach me. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. God puts emphasis on things that we have to do. It's not always Him just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, which is great because He does that in a lot of cases. But He also gives us things to do so that He can respond well. Let's go, what did I tell you to go? Psalm 24, is that where we're at? In Psalm 24, can you read verse 4, Mrs. Wilcox?
He that hath clean hands and pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
Go to verse 6, please.
This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face.
Awesome. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lift up his own soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, it says verse 5, and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek His face, O Jacob. You know, I've found in my life that oftentimes I have tried to seek God's hand in my life. Right? I need providence. I need answers to problems. Help, God, help. I know You can supply. You got cattle on 1,000 hills. And oftentimes I have been enthralled with His promises, which is wonderful. But after I have spent time with Him, I leave no longer enthralled with His promises. I leave enthralled with Him. And isn't that the relationship? I am not captivated by Your promises, God. I'm captivated by You. That's the relationship. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And God just eats it up, man. He loves it when His children just come to Him. I mean, He's not just a good daddy, you know. He is the perfect dad, you know. He's the perfect, just... I don't have any children, but I've seen fathers with their children and just the joy that illumines on their face. They just, you know, access me for anything. Ask me any question. I'll give you anything. Just come with me. Just let me just pick you up into my arms and hold you. You know? That's the kind of father we have. Matthew 6 says in verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, or, you know, gives, you know, whether it be abundant sharing or tithes or just giving, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. This reminds me of a beer campaign that happened back in the day. Coors Light did a charitable donation to some charity for $50,000. And it was this real big thing. And then they marketed it. And they paid about $2 million in marketing to tell the world that they spent $50,000 on how much they gave. What is that? Look how much money I'm putting in the plate. Right? And when they did that, guess what? They got the reward. It was the glorifying of men. That is the reward of that type of action. Because that's the heart of that type of action. It's look at me, give. And so you get your reward in that because the glorifying is not of God, it's of you. But, let's see the answer to this. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward in the end of verse 2. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does, that thine alms may be in what?
Secret.
And thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee what? Oh man, when I get alone with God and I start praying and connecting with Him, I see answered prayer in my life in a way that I don't see otherwise. I see God He just like opens my head and He's like, check this out. Boom! And it just like pours blessing into my heart. It's just like amazing. I want you to have that. And I know everybody here has had that in some sense at some time. Has it been true? You guys know exactly what I'm talking about when I say time alone with God has been nothing but beneficial, right? You know, because we don't make time for God. Time for God is stolen from us. You see what I'm saying? We don't make time for God like at some point in my busy schedule, I'm going to input you in. You know, it's not that. Time is stolen from us. You know, if God can't make you just be fearful and be prideful so that you don't come to Him, you know what else He'll try to do? Keep you busy. Why? Because the end game is the same place, distraction and separation from Him. But how much is our days just completely energized with Him when we just take 10 minutes in the morning, 10, 15 minutes, and just say, God, You're good. I just want to tell You, I love You, Father. I appreciate everything You're doing for me. Bless me, God. Bless this day, Father. This day is for You. Bless my wife, Dad. Bless my life. Bless my ministry, Father. I want it to glorify You, Father. Just lead me in this endeavor. I love You so much, Father. You know what needs I have. I just want to give You this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. What does that do for a day? Right? How amazing is that for a day? Let's keep reading in Matthew 6. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men, except me right now. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Because I just did that. You didn't catch it. It's fine. It's cool. I'm funnier far less than I think I am. All right, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. This, of course, can't mean your closet because the Lands of the Times Bible, the homes, had one big room. There was no closets. What is it talking about? Get alone with God. Go into your secret place with God. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Have you ever seen this? Oh yeah. They think that they'll be heard because of their much speaking. Duration of prayer. It's not quantity, it's quality. Right? I remember going to a big church one time and bless these people's hearts. But this dude was praying and all he was saying was Father's name in all these different ways. And it took him forever. It was like 2 minutes. It was Father, Dad, Jehovah, El Shaddai, O Lord, Father, Most High. I was like, get to the point, dude. I'm trying to help you. Get to the point. There's error in form and there's error in substance, okay? Forms can change, right? A lot of people like different styles of Christian music. That's forms. People have different palette for musical forms. There's error in substance, too. Corruption in substance, where it's the substance of the message is corrupted because the form is more concentrated on. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to bring you here too. So, as a lesson, let's not just be people who pray for many words. But isn't that funny? Have you ever heard people like that? Yeah, it happens. And I'm not slinging stones here. I don't want to condemn anybody about this. This is about us growing and maturing and getting up into next levels of operation with the Father. Verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before you what?" Which is interesting, because he already knows what you need, but he doesn't ask you to pray like these people. In fact, he asks you to do it in secret. Why does he do that? Because he wants relationship. He wants to sit with you. He wants you to sit with him. He wants to talk it out. He knows exactly what you need. I remember I was working on my bike when I was 6 years old. And I had a flat, and I had no idea what I was doing. I had this bike upside down, and I was looking at it, at all these tools, and I had my dad standing there in the garage. And he was looking at me, and he knew what I needed the whole time. The entire time. He knew what I needed. But I did not want to ask him for help. I was not going to do it. I was just going to sit there, bang away on this thing, and have a screwdriver, and break it more. And he just sat there, and it was cool. Because he sat there, and he didn't say a word. You know why? Because he already knows that I can access him for any help at any time. He already knows that. But there I am, banging away on my own tire, making it worse than it was before. And then finally, I just drop my screwdriver. I go, "Dad, can you help me?" He goes, "Yeah, sure." I do that a lot. More than I'd like to admit. That's why time alone with God is good. Father, I have these needs. I also have these plans on how I think I'm going to fix them. Which means I have needs I don't even know about. Because obviously I need to look at you first. He helps us with this as we go forward. Things that happen to me when I get alone with God. Things that will happen to you when you get alone with God. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 1, it says, "The preparations of the heart are in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Does anybody have ESV translation? Can you read that, please, Sophie?
"The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord."
Right. Verse 2, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits," weighs the constitutions, weighs the heart. Verse 3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." This is what I do when I'm alone with God. I sit with him and I commit my works to him, which means I roll them on over to him. And as a byproduct of that, in response, he establishes my thoughts in accordance to the works that I am committing to him. You see how the plans of the preparations of man are in his heart, but that God will establish his thoughts concerning those things? That's what we do when we're alone with God. I commit my ways to him. God, these are my ways. These are the plans I have. These are my requests. What are your ways that you want me to address these things? I have issues with things. I need help with things. I want to grow with things. And he does what? Establishes your thoughts concerning them. That is a wonderful thing to have. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, as of late, has just filled me with exhortation and help and wisdom. It has been a wonderful chapter to read. We're going to hit a couple verses from here, but I just want you I want you to take with you later on to try and read this whole psalm. It's just wonderful. And it's something that I think the heart of every single person in here wants to do and wants to be. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. God wants us to delight ourselves in Him, and we show Him that when we spend time with Him. Go to verse 23. "The steps of a good man." Now this verse, I feel, is like, I want this to be my verse. When I go to the Bema, and I stand before God, I want this to be like, if I had a plaque or something, like a little sentence above my head that floated there, that kind of like, you know, summarize my entire life. This is the verse I want. Verse 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways." I want God to order my steps in everything. I want him to lead me in everything because I want his blessing. You know, I want the perfect will of God to happen in my life. And a lot of times people don't get that because they're too busy to sit down and ask. I mean, we're born again. All of us are wonderfully redeemed, purchased, prized possessions of God. But to receive the very best that He has for you, the very, very prime, awesome, God-level stuff that He wants you to have, it takes some relationship. And that's why spending time with Him is very, very good. Go to verse 37. "Mark the perfect man," or the mature man, the upright man. "Mark him," which means single him out in your minds. Mark that. "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is what?"
Peace.
Oh, now there's a commodity that everybody wants, isn't it? Peace. Verse 39 and 40. "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him." In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is the outpouring of wisdom. In His presence is blessing. Relationship with God is something that all the great men of God that we saw was just something that was a part of their lives. You know, Joseph went through a hard time in his life, right? I mean, he was alone in the dungeon, cast off by his own brethren in the pit, right? I mean, they told his father that he was dead. While he's alone in that dungeon, you hear the cries of him saying, "But God is faithful." And you hear it resound in his life because Joseph was faithful. He knew God was faithful when he was alone because he knew God. It was like Vince said, it's not just about identifying with who we are with God, it's who God is to us. And that relationship is a virtuous cycle that just helps and guides and directs and blesses and brings us up. Now imagine, in closing, what would happen if everyone here woke up tomorrow and spent half an hour with God. Imagine what would happen. I'm serious. Get a vision for it right now. Imagine what happened if everybody woke up tomorrow and went to the secret place of God. Imagine the outpouring of blessing and wisdom in your life. Imagine the answered prayer. Imagine the revelation you would get. Imagine the revelation you'll receive. Imagine the genuine intimacy with God you'll experience. Imagine the boldness and confidence you'll acquire for that day. And then go further with it. Imagine what would happen to us, collectively. Imagine what would happen for us. Imagine what glorifying to God would resound from this congregation for half an hour tomorrow while we're alone. Imagine what fruit would abound to our account because of it. Imagine what would happen to us collectively. Imagine what would happen to this congregation and its need for a permanent space and venue if we just did this tomorrow for half an hour. Are you getting a vision, my friends, my brothers and sisters? Are you getting a vision? Imagine what would happen to our leaders and our pastors. Imagine how God would lead them to lead you if we did this. Imagine how it would affect our teaching, our preaching, and our witness. Because I know God is desiring to share some new revelation. So some wonderful new things for our congregation on things like diligence, on financial prosperity, on things like joy, on things like encouragement. He wants to share these things with us. But in order for us to get that revelation, this has to be in place first. You see what I'm saying? Imagine if us as a congregation did this together. Imagine what would happen to San Diego. Do you see how everything is connected to this? Imagine what this would do for God. Imagine how it would bless His heart, man. We are always thinking about ministering to other people. You know you can minister to God? What a privilege. Imagine the blessing it would give to God. You know, when Adam and Eve transgressed in the garden, the very first thing that did immediately resulted was hiding from Him. But when Jesus Christ tried and faced those similar challenges, you know, tempted to disobey, tempted to exalt Himself, what did He do? He went straight to the secret place. He did exactly the opposite of what they did. He went straight to God. People coming to Him and flocking to Him, trying to ask Him to pray and heal people. Sometimes He just separated Himself and He refreshed Himself in the Spirit. Because that's what we need to do at times. Sometimes we just need to separate ourselves and go someplace and go, God, I need You. I need Your help. Right now. Father, 10 seconds right now. Let's just throw one out. You are good. Amen. All right, let's go back. I'm good. Doesn't that help? It helps, right? Imagine what would happen at business meetings if some guy just walked up out of the business meeting, interrupted the business meeting. I don't care. Walked outside and said, all right, God, what should I do? Imagine. To close, I want to go to Psalm 61. I don't know about you, but I want whatever God wants for us. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want that. And if God is telling me that He wants to outpour new stuff into us, and He wants to give us great things, but this has to be in place first, then by golly, we're going to do that. Because I want that new stuff. God is trying to usher in us up into higher levels of operation and receiving from Him. He's trying to grow us up and raise us. And for us to do that, to go into the next portion of the great walk that we have for Him, this has to be in place. Psalm 61 says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert, or the secrecy, or shadow of Thy wings. Selah. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform. Whose vows?
Mine.
My vows. That's what I wanted to share. I'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, You are a great God. And Dad, we just want to usher ourselves into Your presence at this time, Dad. And we just want to tell You that we love You. And You are a great Daddy. And You are a perfect Daddy. And Father, I want You to help me fix that bike, Dad. Because I get trouble all the time and I want to do it myself a lot. But Father, Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so I want to come to You and access You. And Father, thank You for the joy and the uplifting and the inspiration and the motivation to be able to go to You, go before You, sit before You, and just behold You, Father. We thank You right now. I lift this congregation up, the vision that we have for the future, the road ahead, Dad. Father, we come to You, we cry unto You, and we go to You so that You can help us perform daily the vows that we have made before You. I thank You, Father, for Your wonderful hand of blessing in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.